Managing your home finances can feel pretty lonely, like when you look at your bank account and wonder where your paycheck went, or when the gap between your income and expenses just keeps shrinking. You might feel like you're the only one dealing with that. I'm Carly Hill, and on the Debt-Free Mom podcast, we talk with women and families about confidently managing your money. From saving to budgeting to caring for the things we own, we find practical ways to move from feeling stuck to stable with our money. Join the conversation on the Debt-Free Mom podcast.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it. Hey, y'all. That Twin Mama Podcast. It's your girl, Lauren, here, and we're back for another episode, and I'm so excited for this week. It's with Kelly Bonner, the host of Black Girl Burnout. Some of you all may have heard of this podcast. I posted it a couple times on like my stories, but I actually don't listen to that many podcasts, real talk. Like I just don't. There's like a few I have in heavy rotation, and Black Girl Burnout has been like at the top for several weeks, if not months at this point. But Kelly Bonner, the host, is a licensed therapist with over 15 years of experience helping people and organizations transform, evolve, and heal burnout. She believes Black women have been systemically taught that their legacy is struggle, while their legacy is actually one of joy and accomplishment. As the founder of Burn Bright Consulting, Kelly is revolutionizing diversity, equity, inclusion training with proprietary frameworks proven to increase innovation and lead to happier work environments. Kelly has worked with several federal and international organizations to create safer environments and strategies for violence prevention, including the Biden administration, the U.S. military, the Library of Congress, the National Academy of Sciences, the United Nations, and NATO. So I'm super excited to speak with Kelly today. On her Black Girl Burnout podcast, there is a theme of opting in and opting out of different facets in life that can lead to joy or stress, or like, you know, burn you out, like what you want to opt in on and what you want to opt out of. I think for me this year, I'm kind of opting into like setting boundaries with people and like really leaning into that, because there's just so much bandwidth you have. Like as a parent, you can't say yes to everything and everyone. And I'm really opting out of people pleasing. I don't know what I just said. I said opting into setting boundaries and opting out of people pleasing, which is a struggle. Millennials, you know, I think we were all raised to people please. Anyways, I digress. But on this episode, we talked a lot about what parents in general, Black mothers or parents in general, just should opt in and opt out of to make our life as parents a little bit less chaotic or stressful, or to decrease burnout. In addition, I know I've described this podcast as one that's for parents and mothers, but also for anyone that is, you know, deciding if they want to have a family, or if maybe they want to decide if they want to have more kids. Maybe you aren't a parent yet. And Kelly is actually intentionally child-free. And we talk a lot about the decision and the happiness she's found in that decision. So this episode is for you. If you are a parent who is burnt out, almost burnt out, if you are a Black mother, this is for you. If you are someone that actually doesn't know if you want to have a family, or maybe you don't know if you want to grow a family, we have a lot of insight there as well. So without further ado, let's get into this conversation about burnout, Black mothers, and being intentionally child-free with Kelly Bonner. Welcome, everyone, to That's a Mama podcast. I am so beyond excited for our guest today. You've heard the intro that I just gave, but she's also been like a mentor for me in this whole podcasting realm. I'm so excited to introduce Kelly Bonner. Like, how are you? Thank you for being here. For every guest that I have, I like to for them to introduce themselves a little bit for being on the podcast. So yeah, tell me who you are. I know you've gotten your traditional intro through me, but tell us who you are.
Okay. I'm so excited to be here too, Lauren. This is so fun. Yeah. Okay. So who am I? I am a podcaster as well. I have a podcaster called Black Girl Burnout.
Such a good podcast. Such a good podcast, y'all. Like, highly recommend.
We're taking Rex.
We're taking Rex.
We'll take it.
Yes.
So I'm a podcaster. I'm also an entrepreneur. And I run two businesses, a podcast one, but I also do consultation around burnout and helping people prevent burnout as well as organizations burnout. I'm also like, I got a West Indian mama.
There you go.
You know, I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. Yes. I'm all those things. I love community. I love laughter. Like, I'm always telling people, like, my podcast is very, like, you know, ground yourself and get what you need. But I'm like, I'm also like a bit of a mess and I love to giggle and laugh. Girl, yes. And so I was so excited to be on your podcast because I've seen your content. I'm like, yes.
We're going
to
laugh here.
Yes. I'm free, y'all. So that I would say like those are kind of the highlights of who I am.
I love that. And yeah, we do keep it light here. We get serious, but also with a comedic flair. So I love that. And I'm so glad that we connected. I love, so the Black Girl Burnout brand is just such a helpful resource, I think, for so many Black girls and any woman, to be honest, but specifically Black women, because, you know, environmentally, like, there's society, there's just a bunch of different pressures for Black women, and we are prone to burnout. I also think there's so many similarities between just motherhood. Like, when I was looking at a lot of different episodes, all of them, if not all of them, apply to just motherhood burnout. And just the way that society can kind of just dismiss you and having the feeling of doing it all yourself, which is make you more prone to burning out. Tell me a little bit more about your inspiration behind Black Girl Burnout, how you grew this community, and what it means for you to have this platform.
So where it came from is, you know, personal experience. I had a podcast that no one was listening to except for maybe my mama and my two friends. Thank you, mama.
Yes. Thank you, mama. The mamas.
I had done an episode called Black Girl Burned Out.
Yeah.
And it came from this kind of belief that I knew inside of myself that burnout happens to everybody. There's no one who's not getting burned out. It doesn't matter who you are, how you identify, you are prone to burnout. But there's something unique that happens to Black women. And it is because we tend to have multiple roles, whether we're a mother or even like the role of daughter, which I will talk about later when I think about motherhood, daughterhood is baked in it to me. But all of those different roles, and then there's the systemic pressures and what I believe to be lies. I mean, that's what I started realizing for myself. I've been spectacularly burned out, like really like old school reference. I'm a geriatric millennial, y'all. Jerry Maguire style. Yeah. I've like quit a job, like crazy Tom Cruise style holding a fish tank. Like I've been burned out and like imploded on myself. Yes. But I also realized that part of the reason why that was happening is the way I was defining myself, the lies I was choosing to believe about Blackness, about womanhood, that was impacting how I showed up in the world, that I have to be a superwoman, that I have to be in a constant state of struggling and overcoming. Like, that's just the expectation of Blackness and specifically for being a Black woman. And it was when I realized and named that and kind of claimed it that I said, oh, what if I just don't do that no more?
Right.
What if I just said, no, I'm opting out. And so it was that kind of understanding that led me to creating a podcast that was based on that like Black Girl Burned Out kind of mantra that I had done on my other podcast. And the shocking thing is when you build something that you care about, trust, people will show up and people will appreciate it. Trust me, I did not think they would. I was like, mama, get ready for podcast number two. And my best friends. But people really resonated with this kind of belief, this new thought of you don't have to struggle. We can opt out of struggle. And more importantly, that we've been lied to about what it means to be a Black woman. We've been told it's overcoming, struggling, taking less, sacrificing, compromising. And instead, it's joy.
Yes.
It's community. It's beauty. It's abundance. It's like when we go back to our roots of what it means to be Black and we look at like Africa and where it comes from, the vibrant colors and music and movement. That's all joyful. Yes. I'm like, what are we doing?
Right.
You know, we're out here struggling and miserable. And so it came from that. And so the community exploding has been a surprise, but it's been one of the most pleasant surprises of my life. And it means the world to me now. Like, I really am so embedded in this mission, and with all the incredible women who are along for the ride.
And it's such an important mission, too. And there, I just see so many similarities with burning out. The when your community is underserved in any capacity or dismissed, when I think of mothers, it's like we get a lot of attention when we're pregnant. Every week they want to see us, making sure the baby's good. As soon as that baby's pushed out, Deuces, we'll see you in 6 weeks. Okay, you have another one. Like, what? I'm healing. Like, can I? And it's the representation and elevating the voices of those that might be experiencing it that you do with Black Girl Burnout that makes so many people, like, I think you might have been surprised of how much that resonated with me. Like, I found your podcast, Black Girl Burnout, literally because I was a Black girl burning out. And then so many of the different episodes you have of opting in, which we'll get into, or opting out of something that doesn't serve you, is so relating to so many different parts of my life as a Black woman, as my identity marker of being a Black woman, but also as a mother. So it's just, I love everything that you have been using your platform to do. And it's no surprise to me that it's blowing up because it's so needed. It's literally revolutionary. And I just thank you for taking up space in that intentional way and helping so many of us.
Thank you. I mean, it makes my day, and I feel the same way. I do feel like even though I'm a perfectionist in recovery, and I'm in and out of recovery on that, and I always feel like I could do this better, this should be this way, but I also do acknowledge and see that it's so needed. Like, what we do is so needed in a creator space because there just isn't that messaging coming out to Black women, to mothers. There just isn't that space, and there needs to be more authenticity, more honesty, and more alternatives to the same thing over and over again, the same cycle.
100%. Was there like a specific episode that kind of blew up for you, or was it kind of just brick by brick, you slowly started to grow?
So there was finding the like roots of the podcast takes a while, which I always tell people.
Girl, you know. She's helping me right now. I'm trying to figure this out, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
We're in studio today, so I'm going to look through the camera. Podcasting is not easy, y'all.
Nope.
It takes time. So it was a journey. And part of it was like, for me, what clicked for me was the opt-in, opt-out mantra.
Yes,
like, what is the hook that's simple for people to understand? And I think that was a start. I saw a shift. And then again, I took more creative control over the podcast. And I was like, I want this music. And I want to have this guest. And I really want us to formulate an idea of clarity around opt-in, opt-out. And so I think once we did that, there was a couple of episodes around the concept of opt-in and opt-out.
Say more about that concept, because we're going to talk about it a lot. And so for our listeners that haven't heard the podcast yet, what is the opt-in, opt-out?
So, you know, I'm telling y'all I'm burning out.
Yeah.
Jerry Maguire. If you haven't seen Jerry Maguire, just see the part where he quits. Yeah. He's holding a fish and flipping out. That was me. And a lot of that had been built around this belief that, you know, struggle is life. And I mean, I had a giant wine glass, like scandal size, Olivia Pope size wine glass. And it says the struggle is real. And that was in my vocabulary. Yes. Like every day I'm like, girl, the struggle is real. And I lived it as a truth. And it wasn't until I realized that that is a lie that we are being told. Mm. It's the same lie if you're a mother, no matter what race you are.
100%.
That motherhood equals struggle. But particularly for Black women, that Black women is all – it's synonymous. It's equal to what struggle is. Yeah. And for me, I thought, what if there was a different way? What if the way wasn't just struggle, sadness, non-existence? What if there was something else that we could take? You know, we don't know there's another road. And so we keep going down the struggle road. And so I started using in my own language, like, I'm opting out. And it started simple. Like, I was working in corporate. I'm like, I'm opting out of this meeting. Decline. I'm opting out of this conversation. Bye-bye. And I just started, I'm opting out of this dating experience. No, nope. No.
Unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe. Exactly. And so it started with me just saying it like that. Like, I am opting out as like a mantra to myself to remind myself that I was stuck in this like thinking that I had to be in this. Like, who told me I got to be fighting with some man? Who told me I got to be fighting with my mama about some stuff? Who told me I got to fight with my boss for a raise? I'm opting out of that. And the minute I kind of let go of the need to like fight and struggle as a concept, I then was like, well, if you leave something behind, you got to fill it with something. And so it's like, if there's not that, if I don't have to be pulling and pushing all the time, what could I be doing? What is available to me? And that's when I realized that, you know, if we're opting out of something, what are we opting into? And really understanding that our legacy, particularly as Black women, isn't one of struggle. It's one of joy. Yes. It's one of community and accomplishment. It's just about perspective. Yeah. It's like changing from seeing only the negative to being able to reject what people are telling us. This is you. This is you. No.
Yeah.
This is me. It's joy. It's community. It's abundance. I don't need to be stuck fighting for all the things I deserve. It's coming to me. It's here for me just to access it.
Oh, my gosh. I love that so much. And just the idea of opting out and the power of that, like language is power. What you surround yourself in the lies or myths you tell yourself, even if it's a joke, there is consequences to that. And I think we talked about this earlier, like prior to recording this, just the idea of struggling for motherhood, too, is something that was very at the center of what I saw growing up as like seeing my mom. She was amazing, overaccomplished human being. Also a single parent in the sense that my dad was out of the house, but like still in the picture, but just divorced family. But she like had 5 PhDs, was like the VP of her company, also would cook and clean, also was at every dance recital, every soccer practice, also just all the things. And the struggle was real. And I'm like, yo, how did you do that? Like, nope, I unsubscribed for like, love you for it. Grateful for it. Same with my grandma. But it was, I didn't see that much joyous moments of lightness because it was always a grind. And it was glamorized. Like if you hear people talk about, well, my mom did this and never complained. She always had a cooked meal for my father, blah, blah, blah. And she never complained. And she did it. Yes, she's a superwoman. But that, let's stop glamorizing that. We don't have to opt into that and that be like, that be rewarded. It's different, right? So like understanding like, yes, by coming out of a struggle, you do become stronger and you don't have to opt into the struggle.
Yeah. You can be strong without it.
You can be strong without it. And we don't need to say that that's the way to be. That's how you show your accomplishments. That's how you get like recognized. No, it's like starts inside first. So I just love that you're naming the opting out because sometimes struggle can be glamorized, especially if you overcome it, which in ways like I understand, but to choose to struggle, if there's another way, let's look at that.
Let's take it. And I do think that's part of it, too, is like our culture does glamorize trauma and struggle and overcoming struggle. And I think, again, Black women specifically, but mothers specifically. Like, what types of mothers historically are revered and you see in TV and you see, oh, they're the mother that sacrifices. They give up everything for their child. And their reward at the end of the film is like a tear down your face when your kid graduates. Well, where'd your tears go? Where'd your life go?
Right.
Like, who are you?
What do you do now that they graduate and they're out the house? Right. Like, who are you?
Yeah. You have no personality but to be a mom. And for Black women, the same thing. I mean, for Black people, like, if you look at all the famous movies, it's like the happy ending is depressing. Like, who wants the depressing? Girl. You know, he beat me. He, you know, whatever. Girl. I went broke 5 times. But here I am standing, cue, like, swelling, like, meaningful music.
Right.
It's, like, single tear coming down the face. And you're like, who wants that life?
Who wants that?
Is that what we try to be?
Is that the goal?
Y'all can have
y'all
it.
Y'all can have it.
I don't, that's, no, I'm opting out. If that's exactly what opting into that framework looks like.
Yeah.
I'm opting out. And that's what we've been taught, though, and I think mothers have been taught the same, like sacrifice, struggle, you know, sadness, but your kid, as long as your kid's happy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work, but that's a whole, we're going to get into that later, but it doesn't work. But two, it's like, really?
Right.
Who wants that?
Exactly.
You're really selling the dream.
I
can't
the dream.
Wait to be a mom. I can't wait to be a Black woman. Yay. You know?
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad you're bringing that up. We're going to come back to like opting in, opting out, what we could do as mothers. But I'm curious. There's so many. So to be quite candid, I never thought I was going to be a mom. That was not something I wanted to opt into when I first became like out of college. Like I was never like mother, wife, can't wait to do that. I was always career focused. It's just what I was. And then God had a different plan. The universe was like, boom, bam. I got pregnant with my first on birth control. Not going to shout out that brand. Didn't work for me. And I was told I couldn't have any more kids. And then I had my twins in COVID. I was told my shop was done. So all to say, and it's the best thing that ever happened to me. But the decision to opt into what I saw as motherhood was not something I really felt like I was a priority for me at the time. So I say that because I know you've been very open on your podcast and different platforms about your intentionality to be child-free, and you're happy in the decision for that. How did you come to that decision? How does that feel for you currently?
So it's really funny. We have opposite journeys. So yeah. I grew up wanting to be a mother. I had a whole plan. I planned it all out.
Girl, you Capricorn? You got that plan? Yeah. Capricorn energy here.
Yeah. Yes. I had the plan on the plan. I was like, if I don't have a partner by 35, I am going to single adopt. And I come from a family that is like adoption is part of what's happened in foster care. And so I grew up being like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to single adopt. And then the 30 hit. I didn't have a partner. 35 hit. And I was like, I like shoes. I started making a little money.
Right.
And I was like, and I got tired. More importantly, I got tired. And I said, I don't think I can do that. So that was one level of me saying, but I mean, I had names picked out. I wanted boys. I had names picked out. Really wanted to be a mom. I really felt like I was like called to be a mom.
I didn't know this part.
Yeah, this is new. But I also, all this was happening, like, I jokingly say I like shoes. That's not the decision for me not being a mom, but it was a factor.
Right, I mean, there could be a factor. Not even, my shoes game is different.
Daycare is expensive.
Girl.
But I also was on a mission for something else. I'm glad I didn't become a mom because of who I can become now and how I can help mothers. Mm. It's like, I was also discovering who I was. And, oh, man, I would have missed out and my kids would have missed out on the Kelly that would have had them at 28 and even at 35 I was a different person. But I was becoming different and I was realizing that I do want to give birth to something and I do want to take care of people and I do want to protect and nurture. But I don't know that it's necessary little people. Mm. And I never say never.
Right.
I mean, it's getting up there. It's a little more getting risky at my age.
It's different.
I never say never, but I am very happy in my decision to be child-free because part of what came to me was that I have a bigger mission, and I'm not minimizing. Let me be clear.
Right.
Motherhood is not a small mission. Thing. Yeah. Y'all are heroes every day. Y'all are heroes. But what I mean is I feel like motherhood for me and giving birth and nurturing for me is – the movement of opting out 100%. Is providing caring and nurturing for a community of people who are going to raise little people who are going to be better. And I wanted to be instrumental in that. And I felt like I couldn't maybe give all of what I'm giving to it and be a mother. Mm. And I'm like, you got a big enough job. Like somebody else needs to be helping. I could do that. I got time. You know, I got the time and I got the bandwidth. And so that's where it kind of evolved for me that now I feel like I have given birth to something and I'm nurturing something, a movement, and I want to do more to help Black women and mothers. It's really important to me to help mothers because I can see that piece. And I think part of it comes from the fact that I wanted to be a mom for so long.
I did not know that about you. That is really amazing and fascinating.
Giving exclusive
stuff right here. That's in my pocket. But it's true. Like you, so many different episodes on your platform on Black Girl Burnout have really helped me. Like just centering in what it is that makes me feel joyful or prioritizing myself. Just there's so many episodes and I just feel like I've gotten so much from that and it's helped me be a better mom. So when you say you've given birth to something that I think is actually affecting a lot of mothers and children by proxy, right? It's like that's what you're meant to do that because the proof is in the pudding. Your podcast is phenomenal and the right people are finding it and it's helping those. I will also say, I think you're right. So it's something I don't even know if I want to say out loud, but it's true. To give birth to something and to be attentive to what you're doing right now, it would look different if you had a little one, straight up. Like, I just texted my girlfriend this morning. I was like, what are you opting in or out of? Shout out to my friend Alexa in motherhood that has made your life better. She's like, I'm opting out of working that hard in my career. Deuces. I'm opting out of this meeting. She's like made it to wherever she needs to be. But she's like, I'm on my like CEO. Y'all can handle this because she wants to be present with her kids. Right. And like it's hard to do both. Like you can do one thing really, really well, maybe one and a half. But you can't do all things really, really well. So I feel like you are in your season of what you're supposed to be doing. And like you said, never say never. But I agree with that sentiment of like this is my birth of what I'm making. And it would definitely look different if you had a very little one.
Because you can't have it all at once.
You can't have it all at once.
That's a whole conversation. Yes. Part two. When we get
girl, yeah.
Can we stop lying?
Can we stop lying? That's what I'm saying. You can't.
The biggest lie we've given women is telling them you could have it. That's just a con.
No. That
dominant culture and the larger culture is getting you to buy into so you could do double the work at home. So you could be a CEO and come home and cook and clean and emotionally hold the load
with
of
a six pack and in the lingerie and heels while smiling.
That is that is such a lie. Now, can you have all the things that you care about? Yes. Just not all at once.
Yes.
And so, like, part of my mom plan, like, because, again, I was going to be a mom.
Yeah.
We're opposite day.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to make sure I have enough money. I'm not working the first 2 years if I can as a mom because I want to be there for the first steps. The way I work now, I have two businesses. My kid would be like, do I have one? Mama's got to answer an email. Like, they would not be able to be fully thriving. And so it is that decision that goes into it. So kudos to your friend, Alexis, for saying that, because it can't be all important at once.
No, it can't.
And at the end of the day, your career ain't going to be the thing that comes back and hugs you.
Girl.
It's your kid who's doing the things that comes and takes care of you later. So that is the thing to opt out of.
Exactly. And it's so interesting. I can't tell when I was working for someone else, like the amount of strides I made in that company and like great moments of just like, wow, you guys were reinventing and doing all these great things. Ain't nobody talking about it today. No. I'm gone. Nobody like, you know what? Lauren Birdie did this. No, ain't nobody care. And I killed myself for it.
Me too, girl. I know that story.
That's another story. We go digress. Anyways. But on one of your recent podcasts, you had said that one of your missions in life is to elevate the health of Black mothers. And we've kind of talked about that a little bit. But can you tell me why this mission is so important to you and how that shows up in Black Girl Burnout?
I mean, mothers are everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point. Like, that's why I say
we all got moms.
Yeah. We've all got moms. We're all the product of moms. Mothers are everything. And so when I think about Black Girl Burnout, it is inherently has to be about motherhood and daughterhood, right? And childhood. It's like you cannot separate that. And the health of the mothers is the health of everyone.
Girl.
That is the world. It's the health of the world.
Say that again. The health of mothers is the health of everyone.
It is.
Girl.
It just is.
Seriously.
And so for me, you brought this out yourself. One of the things that we align on, almost word for word, which is too funny, is that I grew up with, I feel like it's also my mission to honor the ancestors, honor the people who came before us, and to heal what's come before us. And I have a phenomenal matriarchal line of like, you know, I didn't get the height. I'm only 5'1", but like everybody else is like 5'11" and 6 foot, like Amazonian, beautiful, resourceful, successful Black women who just like bootstrap their way through life.
100%.
But none of them I could say is joyful. And that to me, it pains me. Like I get emotional thinking about how, you know, my mother has done so many things. And to her credit, she's found joy now as she's gotten older. Like I love that for her. But I can't imagine, she didn't even think about joy being at the center of her life as a mom, as a woman, as a person.
Right.
And so for me, I want to elevate that aspect. That's the podcast is universal in that respect. Yeah. It's not just for like single childless Black women.
Yeah.
It is for mothers because I want the legacy that we pass on to be that you can have joy, that motherhood is joyful.
Yes.
It's not something to be nervous about or resentful of or feel like you missed out. It can be joyful and being a Black woman is joyful because that's what I want us to pass on to the kiddos and to the people around us in our community.
Oh, that's so well said too. And I shared with you earlier that I've seen a lot of seers, guides, spiritual healers throughout my life. And one consistent thing they've all said, three out of like the five said, your soul contract for this life is to heal the mother-daughter relationship. Whatever that means to you, that's what your goal is. That's what you're meant to be here for. And this is before I even got pregnant with girls. I was like, bye. I only have a boy. Y'all tripping. Like, no, I do not receive that. But now the universe is funny. And I'm seeing, like, love my mom, grateful for that all she's done. Like, the bootstrap mentality that you just mentioned. Like, those were things that they had to do or felt they had to do. It was a different time as well. And I guarantee you all of them wouldn't choose that for us. as I'm raising my daughters now, I want them to see joy. I want me to be their idol. Like, I want them to be like, I want to be like my mom, not because she was a great mom, but she was a person. She made these funny videos. She was having fun. She laughed a lot and she rested. I saw her rest and dad did. I want that to be a holistic picture of motherhood because it can be. But that is also to say it only can be if you are prioritizing self and asking and receiving help. You really can't do it all. It's not a singular job. It really isn't. It's built like there's different countries and cultures that the village literally takes over the first year for the mom because yes. All she needs to do is nurse. She ain't cooking. She ain't cleaning. She ain't doing yes. nothing. They bring the baby. You nursing. Okay, eat, sis. Here's your food. That's literally how that culture believes that motherhood should be. And I think in our society, we lose sight of that. But this is all to say, the way that you find the joyous moments in motherhood and appreciate them is if you're not burnt out. Because if you were burnt out, you're going to miss it because you're surviving. You are in a victim yes. state. Our parents, I think, were in ways kind of not victims, but they were survival mode. It yes. was not what they would choose, right? So your podcast has given me so much insight of things you can opt in or opt out of to preserve that self-prioritization and also be able to smell the roses, take a step and see all the joyous moments of motherhood. Like I said earlier, I had my son in 2010. I was a different person. And I'm seeing my toddlers now. And I don't even remember some of the moments I'm having with my toddlers with my son because I was so overwhelmed. Like, I wasn't laughing and playing. I was like, you know, trying to do, why am I crying? I was trying to do.
I have that effect.
Yeah, but trying to do everything I could to just push through that day. And it's now that I've had the language around asking for help, prioritizing myself, whatever that is, that I'm able to have that playful moments, the joyful moments, and see them every day. So I know you have background as a therapist and intergenerational mm-hmm. trauma. You've interviewed countless guests on your podcast, and a lot of the theme is opting in or opting out of something. What would you say? I know there's a ton, but if you had to name like maybe the top three things that parents could opt in or out of, what would you suggest?
So I think the first thing I would suggest is we'll do an opt out. Like okay. opt out of not knowing what your purpose is before parenting.
Yes.
Like, and it doesn't have to be in parenting. Like, just what do you want to do? Who are you?
Yes.
These are the questions you need to answer before you become a parent. And sometimes we don't have a choice. Like you said,
right.
birth control yeah. failed yes. you. Accidents happen. Like, I'm not here to blame right. anybody that was like,
right.
well, what am I supposed to do? I already have these kids. But I think that if you haven't, opt out of delaying yes. answering that question. You don't have another minute. Mm-hmm. Answer it now and figure out what do I love? Like whatever the questions are that lead you, what am I naturally drawn to? But yeah. opt into knowing your purpose and knowing who you are. Like yes. it's start the journey today. It is just what you have to opt out of letting that go because we teach people like for Black women, the last place I feel like we, and I think adult women, let me mm-hmm. just say that, the last place we discover is ourselves. We yes. out here discovering life, discovering partners, discovering career. And the last place we go is like, we're like 65 being like, you know what? I think I like jazz music.
Yes.
What?
It's like,
what are we doing?
Right. That is, yes.
Opt into discovering your, opt out of delaying knowing who you are. So 100%. That's the first
yes.
thing.
Yes, I love that.
The second thing is related to the first thing, which is like opt into bringing your partner and your family and your community into your purpose. What are we doing?
Snapping all the way. Snap,
what
snap.
What are we doing? Who are these people who are just hanging on the side of you? You see the right. moms way down.
No.
Have you seen those TikToks where it's like the woman's like, we're going on a trip. And the woman's got all the bags. All the, and the man is like figuring out on the TV
yeah,
what movie he's going to watch. What are we doing? Opt into bringing your partner, your community, if you yeah. don't have a partner, your community into your purpose. Who are you? What do you prioritize? What do you love? And make sure the people in your life know to support
yes.
you achieving that purpose.
Yes. I can't, I'm like, how do I retweet this a million times? Because that is so important. I know we're going to get to a third point, but like, without that, if you have people in your life that have opposite agenda of you, girl, bye, boundary.
It's not gonna
serve you, and you're never gonna get there. Like you have to have people communicate what it is,
yeah.
and have them support you or get out your way.
And sometimes you have good people in your life. Let's also do that. There's people who are just like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't named your purpose. You haven't seen what you want to do, how you want to live. And so you have a best friend and she's like there to listen with you and grab a margarita, but she doesn't know you actually secretly want to make more time for yourself. Yeah. So she could be like, well, I'll take the kids. We could swap days so you can have more me time. Whatever that is for you, opt in to bring your community and your partner into your purpose. Know what it is. Opt out of delaying figuring that out and opt into bringing the whole crew along, including your babies. Now we're going to get to your baby and bring your babies into your purpose. Yeah. They need to know, like, mommy is like, what is mommy's goals and values? Yeah. You know, she values, you know, love and compassion. They need to be able to recite that the same way they teach them prayers at night or whatever that is. That needs to be, they need to be in on it. Yeah. This is a team. But you at the center and you take turns. Then it's going to be their turn to be centered. It's going to be your partner's turn to be centered. It's going to be your best friend's time or your mother's or your family. But opt into bringing everybody along for the ride about who you are. They know who you are unapologetically and they are supporters. You need fans.
Yes.
Because you can't be a mother without that piece.
Oh, I love that so much. And it's like the first part of just knowing. Or figuring out, like, if I say, like, what are your hobbies? And you don't know anything outside of something you do for your kids, work on that.
Yes.
Like, first and foremost, because we can lose our identity. Motherhood is all-consuming, and it can be, like, different stages. There's different seasons. If you're in the thick of it, you just had your baby yesterday, girl, just heal.
Yes.
Like, you ain't got to do that today.
Correct.
There might be a time where you come up for air. Maybe it's after you're done breastfeeding. For me, I had a lot of postpartum anxiety and depression tied to breastfeeding. Mm. Once I was, like, separated from my children, like, they weren't physically needing me to live, I could kind of see clearer. Like, I couldn't be able to prioritize who I am at that point. There's a season for everything. But when you come up for breath, be sure to remember that other people will be okay. You need to put on your oxygen mask first and just figure out what that is, what you love, because that permeates. I always, like, have this analogy. If my daughter, one of my daughters, I have two, they grow up and they become a mom. Would I want them to give up everything that is uniquely them, that's made them who they are, just for the sake of raising their person or being a great wife or partner, what have you? And that would be like, hell no.
Exactly.
No, right? And like, I think about that. Like, I think about, would I wish this on my daughter? And if I don't, lead by example, sis.
Yes. That is so critical. Yeah. And then I think the third thing is opt into advocating for yourself in the medical community.
Yes.
I mean, we are just not taken care of, and particularly Black women, and around maternal.
Yeah, Black maternal health is
it's a crisis in America. We're in America, and it's like, really? Why? But part of it is like, it all flows together. Like, when you know who you are, you're proud of who you are, you stand up for who you are. Make sure you build your medical team as well, and your mental health team, opt into prioritizing your care.
Yeah.
And that's medically. Fight until you have the right team. Keep going until you have the right person that makes you feel comfortable. But fight for your mental health, too. Be like, mommy's getting therapy sessions. I'm putting a sign on the door. Don't knock. If your kids are old enough, go figure something out. You got a party. You got family, a community. This is me time. No one gets between me and my therapy sessions. Mommy needs this to be the best mom that she can be. And so you need to opt into fighting to preserve what you've established.
I love that. I just got back into therapy. Like, I just hired the
therapist. Therapy's life-saving. Girl.
I don't know what I was doing. Like, I was out in these streets, like, thinking I would be okay. I'm like, what were you doing? So, yes to therapy for all things. I think, like, no matter who you are, businesswoman, Black woman, motherhood, you need somebody to check in with. That's outside of your brain and outside of people that need you.
Yes, or know you too well, because sometimes they won't check you. Yeah. Sometimes they won't check you, or they'll check you in a way you're going to be having feelings. Like, don't talk to me like that, but your therapist could be like, well, let's talk about if we've taken on too much.
Exactly.
And you're like, okay, I'll listen to it. No, but it's true. Yes. You need that. And it is self-care. Like, for me, I could not manage a business. I could not do anything if I didn't have a therapist. And I'm like, she's riding with me for life. I'm like, I hope you're not retiring, because I'm going to come to your home. It's restraining order time when it's over.
We in this together. There's no getting out.
I don't know what you're doing. Nope. But
sorry.
Forever. But it's so important.
Yeah. It is so true. And I think about, like, I think I heard this on one of your podcasts. Like, if you're a businesswoman, you need a therapist, period.
Amen. Immediately.
I think that's where I got the therapist.
We're learning studio time today. I'm abusing the camera. If you are an entrepreneur or you're trying to climb the corporate ladder, get a therapist.
Get a therapist.
But you definitely as a businesswoman, because you discover more about yourself. And I think with motherhood, it's the same thing. It's the same thing because I didn't have to rely on me when I was working for a corporate. I was like, well, if this works, great. I know I'm good. If it doesn't, I'm blaming Chad. So, and it usually because it was his fault. Like he got in the way of all the goodness I was trying to do. So I was free. But when you work for yourself, you're like, there's no Chad here.
There's no Chad here. It's just me.
I failed this. And I think it's the same with motherhood.
100%. And like motherhood in a way, it's not a business, but you are running a household. You're the product. I mean, not to like minimize it, but you are raising a human.
Yes.
And it's the biggest job you'll ever had.
It is definitely the biggest job. It's bigger than my two businesses. Like I'm proud of them, but it's not raising a child.
But it's just like the stakes are high. You're emotionally invested. Maybe it's sometimes hard to see clearly or take yourself out of something. And the same way, if you're a businesswoman, you need therapy. If you're a mother, you need something. You need something outside of your partner, your people, your friends. You need someone to help check you or also like make you feel like you're not losing your mind. Or on the days that are really hard, you're not a failure, to combat the mom guilt that you might feel. There's so many emotions that go into motherhood. On our great days, they're great. On our low days, you can feel like you've ruined the entire kid. They're going to need therapy in 20 years. That's not the case.
No, but it's like, that's the thing, though. Yeah. Like, that's the thing about business ownership and I think motherhood is that it exposes things about yourself you didn't have to work on.
Yes!
You didn't have to work on these things. And all of a sudden, you're in your business. You're like, oh, I got to keep betting on myself. I got to keep telling myself I'm good at this. I didn't have to worry about this because it's like I was just doing a job and I have to, if I mess this up, the only person who's suffering is me and maybe my people, my clients. I think motherhood's the same way. Like there were muscles and skills that I did not have to figure out when it was me working for somebody else. 100%. And I think the same, like if you don't have children, it's just like it brings and exposes things about yourself. You're like, what's this feeling? Oh. And that's why I'm like, go to therapy because it's the only way you're going to be successful.
100%. And I do think that like motherhood is a life experience that I think almost it's a harder way, but it's a fast track to getting to know parts of yourself that you didn't know were there or maybe you suppressed or like, and how you show up. Like I will be triggered by things. I'm like, where the hell did that come from?
Same with business ownership. I think it's the same kind of, because it is a giving of a birth of a story. And you're just like, where did this come from? I didn't know I had this struggle.
Exactly.
Up. Now I got to bring something to a therapist. Like I would not have lasted. I've been like, I'm going back to work. You know, Chad never looks so good. Chad. Like, look,
Chad,
my bad. Hire me back. I apologize. I apologize. Can you take me back? I'm ready. Like, it's just, it's really important you do that.
So would you say like, your experience as a therapist and the many women that you've helped, and it's probably hard to just put one, but if you had a big piece of advice that you could tell our listeners, which are majority mothers, twin moms, black moms, all different mothers, a piece of advice to work on for themselves. It's the beginning of 2024 at the time of this recording. What would you say?
I think I would go back to making sure you know yourself and know what you care about. Ask yourself, what am I drawn to? If it's these are big questions, right? Like, what's my purpose? Seems like a big loaded question, 100%, right?
Yes.
So start with like, what am I drawn to? What do I naturally like? What I like maybe before motherhood? Because, you know, you might lose time. You're nursing, doing all the things. What are the things that I like? Who do I want to be? Like, who's the person? When I think of the best version of insert my name, what do I think of their qualities? And I think those are the kind of questions to go with to start to build like what becomes your purpose. Because out of that becomes like a vision of like, oh, I'm, you know, generous, or I like being around people, or I'm actually an introvert. And so I need to like make me time.
100%.
I think that's it. And then the second part is like your community. Mm. I think mothers often have community, but I don't know that we always leverage it the right 100%. Way. You know, so we're like we're all on the same TikToks watching people. Like, I don't watch mommy influencers. I do actually sometimes. Yeah. I love the almond mom. The trad mom. Girl, we could have so, have you heard of trad mom content? It's traditional moms that stay at home and they talk. Oh, it is wild.
Why? The creator, I don't even know this.
We're going to talk about this. Anyways, that's a whole other thing. Because I love me some TikTok. I got an addiction. Anyways.
Yes, we all do.
There are sometimes we misidentify community and we don't leverage what we have. Yeah. So we're out here like consuming content. You talked about this before. We talked about this before recording of like, you know, don't be looking at other people on how to mom and seeing their curated content, yes. right? Leverage community in a meaningful way. Start asking the right questions. Start asking questions of your community. Yes. Start saying loud and proud what you like, what you care about. Start brainstorming like, you know, you look stressed today. Maybe I could figure out, like, I could take the kids. You know, get your partner yes. involved. Get your partner involved if you have one. What is the point right. of having a partner if they're not helping you with the children? But get them involved. Leverage your community. And sometimes it's not about them not wanting to help. Yeah. It's that they don't know how to. Train your community. Yes. Know what you need. Work on it. And then teach your community what you need so they could give it to you.
100%. I love that how you say that because, yes, and it's true that you may not even know the language of exactly what you need, but you might know signs of when you're about to tap out.
Yes.
So, like, articulate powerful. That. Like, with my husband, when I was in the thick of it, right after having the girls, it's in COVID, I didn't know that postpartum anxiety and depression could come up as rage. Like, I thought you were in the corner crying, but mine would come out mad, angry. And coming out of it, I was like, oh, that's me when I'm about to break. I'm going to snap. I might yell. It's not going to look like soft and vulnerable and she needs help. It might look like she doesn't need help. She's really mad. I need to get away. But actually, it's the opposite. I need you to lean in. So being able to articulate the signs of when I'm like overwhelmed with my husband has been a game changer where he'll see like me start in there. And he's like, all right, I'm going to take the kids to the playground. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to listen to some 90s hip hop and R&B and then like bring it back. Right. So I think like even if you aren't able to articulate, you know, maybe you haven't gotten to the point like, I need you to do all the nighttime routines or on Wednesdays, wake up with the girls. Maybe you have like that figured out organizationally or maybe not yet. You don't know what you need, but you at least know how you feel when it's time to need help and articulate that to your community. Like, these are my signs. This is when I need you to just maybe give me space or whatever have you. I need a break. And I think to your other point of knowing like your hobbies or things that give you joy, maybe you don't know. I mean, like, it was interesting because I became a mom very young, at 23, and I don't, if you had asked me then, like, I was still figuring myself out, like, as a person. My 20s, you're also just truly finding yourself, so I kind of grew up and found myself as a mother, but I would get little dopamine hits of, like, doing something. Like, maybe it's making a funny sketch, or, like, singing a song, or listening to music. Like, if you go on a hike one day, and you get, like, a little dopamine hit, like, maybe that's your thing.
Yes.
But like, okay, you don't have to go on a hike every week. You could be spontaneous and imperfect. But maybe try and go on a hike the next time an opportunity presents itself. Or maybe you just start tracking your dopamine hits of something outside of your kids. Because those are the little seeds that you need to plant and see where it takes you.
No, I totally agree with that. That all of that. Like, do that that way. However you get to that list,
get to the list. I love that. Okay. Is there anything that you want to share that we haven't covered yet?
I mean, we covered a lot.
I know we did.
We covered a lot today. Just reiterating again that, you know, motherhood, I love your mission.
Yeah.
I think it's revolutionary. I think it is on a mission to redefine motherhood. And it's very similar with Black Girl Burnout, which is like, it's celebration and liberation. Like, I want people to celebrate who they are, celebrate motherhood. And I also want you to be liberated from the lies around it. And the same, that's what Black Girl Burnout's about. Yeah. It's ultimately like two words, celebration and liberation, like free yourself. And I want all of you listening, I want all of you to free yourself as well. Like, I want that to be a part of that and to celebrate that freedom.
Yes. What's that song? It's like, free your mind.
And the rest will follow.
In Vogue. You a millennial. In Vogue, you know. I like some millennial throwbacks. Okay, Kelly, how can we find you? How can people follow along?
So you can listen to Black Girl Burnout podcast. It's across all major streaming podcasts. And same for like Instagram's Black Girl Burnout, TikTok. Pity follow me on TikTok at Black Girl Burnout because I'm just starting to get into TikTok.
We're gonna see some collabs happening.
Laura's gonna train me. She's going to adapt
the podcast world.
Yeah. But you can find me there. And then if you want to follow me just as someone who does burnout on both like an organizational and personal lens, it's Kelly A. Bonner.
Oh, I love it. I highly recommend following all the things you will see. This is not the first of the collab between us two. Like, I feel the energy. I'm so honored by you. She's been mentoring me on the podcast. Highly, highly recommend the follow there. Again, y'all, this has been That's My Mama podcast. Thank you for listening. Peace. And that is it for today's episode of That's My Mama podcast. But before we bounce, I'm going to leave y'all with two requests. The first is, if you are enjoying this podcast, please follow along and leave us a 5-star review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, whichever your preferred platform is. These ratings do a lot for our engagement, but also gives us the inspiration, the push to keep on showing up for you all week after week with some great content that we are sure you're going to enjoy. And secondly, follow us on our socials. You can find me at That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram and at That Twin Mama on YouTube. On Instagram, you'll see a lot of short form versions of these videos, but a lot of content that relates to the subject matter week after week that I am sure you're going to love. So until then, again, thank you for showing up. Thank you for all your support. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Peace, y'all.